sorry, to the residents of South Bruce Peninsula. With the Sable Beach litigation dragging on for so long, council was not always able to explain in detail what we have been going through. With the bulk of the litigation over, and with so much misinformation circulating, council felt this was the right time to give you the entire picture. We want to explain to you why council firmly believes that we did not deserve to be charged for the work we did on the beach in 2017, what the verdict meant to the future of our beach, and what led council's decision to appeal. It's been an incredibly difficult journey, but there are decisions that still need to be made concerning the beach, and we need your input. Please remember, whether you live at Sauble or elsewhere in South Bruce Peninsula, this is your beach, funded through your tax dollars and paid parking revenue. We've endured an incredible ordeal with the ministry that you should clearly understand as we contemplate our next move. Sauble belongs to you, so please take 10 minutes to read this chronology of facts regarding the beach, then help us decide where to go from here. Most every statement is supported by documentation, emails, letters, memos, court transcripts, pictures, you name it, it's all here. We have created a separate page on the town's website called Sauble Beach Facts, where you'll find this transcript plus all of the supporting documentation. We will also include a platform in the near future for you to give us your thoughts after you've read this. We want to hear from you. So here we go. After a lengthy absence, the piping plover returned to the north end of Sauble Beach in the summer of 2007. In 2008, the Ministry of Natural Resources asked the Town Council, under Mayor Gwen Gilbert, to cease all maintenance from the tennis courts to the river until the plovers depart or upon ministry permission. In April of 2009, a letter was received from the ministry advising no maintenance from 11th Street North to the river, no garbage cans on the beach, and that's because garbage attracts seagulls who predate plovers. They advised limited use of heavy equipment. In August of 2009, the ministry advises that we can now put garbage cans out and we can rake the beach. From 2010 to 2014, following a delegation from the ministry, the new council under Mayor John Close takes the approach to discontinue maintenance of the north end of the beach completely. No maintenance occurred for 4 years, causing willow bushes to blanket the beach from the dunes to the water's edge. Plovers began to abandon the north end and move further south each year to nest. There was substantial community backlash on the loss of the North Beach. December of 2014, a new council was elected. It was my first year as mayor. The majority of council committed to reclaiming the north end of Sauble Beach. Council set out to convince the ministry that we can easily share the beach with the plovers, but advised that we are not willing to lose the beach. April 28, 2015, in an attempt to negotiate middle ground, Mayor Jackson met with ministry on the beach along with staff and former councillor Anna Vukovic. The ministry would not budge. September of 2015, it was our fifth year without maintenance on the North Beach. Community anxiety increased. Plovers continued to move south on the beach as the north end became increasingly uninhabitable. In May of 2015, the Friends of Sauble Beach appeared before council expressing their concerns about raking. In June of 2015, in a recorded vote, council passed Bylaw 62-2015 to begin raking the beach again. Environmental Defense, the Blue Flag organization, revoked our Blue Flag status with the passage of this bylaw to rake the beach. This frustrated council, as all other Blue Flag beaches at that time mechanically raked. In August of 2015, there was a request to meet the ministry in town hall in an attempt to form an agreement on beach maintenance. The invitation was extended to MPP Bill Walker. In August of 2015, email communication between Lake Huron Center for Coastal Conservancy, the ministry, and the town. Jeff Peach of the Coastal Conservancy supported the spring removal of the willows in the north. The ministry concurred and arranged to meet with the town staff to map out those areas. Both requested the town wait until spring to remove the vegetation from the extreme northern tip. With assurance that the ministry wouldn't change their minds, council agreed to wait until the spring to address the willow-blanketed northern tip. September 2015, there was a meeting held in Town Hall with the Ministry, MPP Walker, Mayor Jackson, and Public Works. We agreed to maintenance on the beach before the plovers arrived, then raking between nests while the plovers were here, and then rake the entire beach after they departed. We felt we had made significant gains. In the spring of 2016, the ministry changed their mind and no longer supported the removal of the vegetation from the northern strip. March 2017, ministry emails the staff advising that minor raking can be permitted after the plovers have arrived. May in 2017, an email from the town to the ministry asking for permission to rake the private beach between 5th and 6th Street North. The ministry approves of raking 500 meters from a plover's nest once the plover arrive and raking the entire beach after they leave. August the 9th, 2017, the town sends a letter to the ministry explaining the planned work on the beach as the plovers had departed. We advised the ministry that the work included using a mid-sized bulldozer. The ministry expressed no concerns. In fact, the ministry works with town staff to drive orange stakes into the beach near the base of the dunes to guide the town on the work parameters. August 2017, letter from the ministry stating that raking, leveling, and removal of debris is not likely to damage the habitat, but requests that we don't work in the spring until after the plovers arrive. August 23 to September the 7th, the plovers are gone for the season and the town works on the beach to remove the willow bushes with no objection from the MNR. In late August, upset with our work on the beach, a local environmental group appeals to a larger environmental group to assist in stopping the town from the work they're doing on the beach. September the 9th, the ministry issued their annual year-end report thanking the town for our assistance and partnership with the ministry. There was no mention of any concerns over the beach maintenance and no mention of the bulldozer work. February the 9th, 2018, a memo from the ministry requested that the town not rake in the spring until the plovers nest. Once nested, raking, removal of debris, straightening the beach dunes, and clearing around the exercise equipment can begin. Raking is permitted after the plovers depart. March the 22nd, 2018, ministry enforcement officers arrive at town hall and charge us with damaging plover habitat. March 28, 2018, the ministry issues a stop order on any work north of Paisley Lane. A stop order gives the town specific direction or prohibition of maintenance activities. EcoJustice, it's a legal firm representing environmental groups, files a motion to prevent all maintenance on Sauble Beach. April 2018, after the town reclaimed the beach with the bulldozer, the plovers returned to the north end. May the 7th, second stop order was issued. We're permitted to clean out the beach drains, exercise and life-saving equipment. We can replace the benches, clean off the walkways, remove zebra mussels with a hand rake, and place the Moby mats. We were given permission to use a backhoe and a small loader. June 2018, a third stop order was issued. We're permitted to rake the beach between nests, then rake the entire beach once the plovers leave. We're also permitted to place garbage cans throughout the beach. July 2018, the ministry charges the town again with damaging plover habitat. August the 21st, the town sends a letter to the newly elected PC government asking for help. The summer of 2018, the town boasted one of the largest plover recoveries in Sauble's history. October 2018, we get a fourth stop work order permitting cleaning of the beach drains. 2018 to present, all maintenance on beach has been prohibited, with the exception of emergency work. May the 30th to June the 6th, 2019, the trial for damaging plover habitat begins with Justice of the Peace Anderson presiding. Our former Public Works manager testifies that he chose to use a mid-sized dozer as he felt it was less invasive and damaging to the beach than the high hoe they had tried on several occasions. U.S. plover expert Dr. Francesca Cuthbert testifies that the south end of the beach is not plover habitat due to the vast number of beachgoers. Dr. Francesca Cuthbert also testified that heavy vegetation in the north end of the beach prevented the area from being plover habitat. Ministry expert biologist Suzanne Robinson testified that removal of the willows in the north end of the beach from 11th Street to the river is not damaging to plover habitat. The ministry agrees there is no legislative definition of plover habitat, unlike that of other endangered species. The Crown claimed the town damaged or eliminated the invertebrate on the beach, tiny insects that the plovers feed from. The ministry, through their plover expert, Dr. Cuthbert, and biologist Suzanne Robinson, could not quantifiably or scientifically prove that there was any alteration to the invertebrate. October the 3rd, 2019, in spite of our legal team providing documentation that the ministry not only knew that we planned to use a mid-sized bulldozer on the beach, and in fact drove in stakes to guide our work, and in spite of the Crown's inability to prove that beach invertebrates suffered, and in spite of the Crown's two expert witnesses acknowledging the south end of the beach is not habitat, and where the willows blanketed the north end was also not considered habitat, the town was convicted of damaging plover habitat and issued a $100,000 fine. In a stunning decision, against the testimony of the Crown's own expert witnesses, Justice of the Peace Anderson ruled that the entire beach is plover habitat and that any human contact on the beach destroys habitat. This was a devastating ruling that left the town with no choice but to appeal. September 2019, the town received a letter from the ministry allowing us the use of pesticides to address the willows on the beach. The town undertakes work that fall, which proves to be effective. The dead willows were then washed away by the high water levels that followed. March 21, on appeal, the Ontario Court Justice Julius Morneau upheld the conviction but overruled the JP, stating that the entire south end of the beach is not habitat, nor anywhere that there are willows. A partial victory for the town. Later in March, the ministry issues a letter to the town stating that they disagree with the court's decision and insist that the entire beach is habitat and will remain habitat for 10 years after the last plover has departed. Considering plovers had nested on the full length of the beach, this is devastating to the town. The ministry stated that grooming and other beach maintenance can result in charges. This ministry position will force us to abandon the beach for a minimum of a decade, and more than likely beyond. For instance, if we have no plovers for 9 years, and then they come back, the clock will restart. We could easily have our hands tied indefinitely. The town could rake the South Beach, as it was deemed by the Court of Appeal not to be habitat. Then we'd be charged by the ministry staff. We'd likely win, due to the court's recent decision, but the cost to defend ourselves yet again would be substantial, given that the cost to defend the 2017 charges approached $1 million. The town managed the cost to defend itself as the payments were spread over 4 years. There will be no massive increases in taxes, as some are suggesting, and there hasn't been an out-of-the-ordinary tax increase since we hired our legal team in 2018. April 7th, 2021, with the future of the beach in peril, the town issued a leave to appeal. We faced a deadline of April the 7th to preserve our right to launch a second appeal on the beach decision. This appeal takes a case to a higher court, and it could take up to a year before proceedings begin, so this will give us time to determine our position. But please keep in mind that the majority of the cost to fight these charges has already been paid. As the last appeal only took one day in court, a second appeal is expected to be the same, as we will use all the evidence that we've amassed over the last 4 years. We've come this far. Shall we walk away with only one day remaining? The cost to appeal is minor in comparison to what's been invested to date. With the future of Sauble Beach looking quite grim, council will discuss options on how to proceed and solicit the will of our taxpayers, given the current prohibition of any work on the beach. We must keep in mind that the entire north end of Sauble was overtaken by willow bushes in just 4 years of abandonment. We now have willows in many places throughout the entire length of the beach. Do we drop the appeal and abandon the beach completely? Or do we keep fighting for Sauble Beach in spite of the obstacles? What is Sauble Beach worth to our town? It's the center of our tourism industry and a thriving business community. It's the home to over 3,400 residents, providing assessment to our town coffers. Sauble Beach is all about the beach. So where should we go from here? Perhaps you're not from Sauble. Perhaps you live near Red Bay Beach, Howdonvale Beach, Chesley Lake, Burford Lake, Gould Lake. The list goes on. What if your beach or your lake goes through what Sauble has experienced? Would you expect the town to stand up for you? Would you expect support from all of our residents if your beach faced such challenges? We are all one town. Sauble might not be the beach in your backyard, but it is your beach. I'm going to talk about the judicial review. The town has been quite concerned about the narrowing of parking along Lakeshore Boulevard, particularly from the Crowd Inn north to Kinloss Lane. Sand at the rear of the dunes has encroached upon the road, and the town pushed this parking area back each spring as regularly scheduled road maintenance. However, that annual work was halted when the plover issues began. Abandoning this work for 3 years has caused unsafe parking. In the spring of 2017, it was the last time our annual roadside maintenance was done. Please reference the ministry email from March the 13th, 2017, where they clearly state they have no issues removing sand from the back of the dune specifically to create deeper parking. They also suggested that we place the sand back on the beach, which was the plan this year too. We'll go forward to August 2020. The town contacts the ministry to advise them of our planned work and ask if they have any issues. The town receives an email from the ministry stating that they have no concerns with the proposed work, so long as it does not compromise the integrity of the dune ecosystem as a whole and plover habitat is not impacted. September 15th, an application for permission is filed with the Grey Sauble Conservation Authority for the parking improvement project. Staff worked with Grey Sauble to obtain the information they required to issue that permit. In November, the ministry staff, after speaking with Grey Sauble, indicated that they did not take issue with the project and encouraged the town to continue working with Grey Sauble. Ministry staff and Grey Sauble determined that the sand has to be transported off-site to the landfill. Public Works presented council with a plan to recapture the lost parking area and install a 36-inch high decorative stone retaining wall to ensure this encroachment isn't repeated. The plan stated we would place the removed sand back onto the beach. Initially, the Conservation Authority refused to allow this as they felt the sand was contaminated. But after several attempts to have them change their mind, they agreed, as long as we sifted the sand before placing it back on the beach. An email of approval from the Conservation Authority is on the special webpage, and Council approved the plan. November the 20th, we received a permit from Grey Sauble Conservation to do this work. November the 23rd, geoscientist Peter Zuzek approached town offering his report on the lakeshore work. His report stated that our work might harm the dunes. The town expressed appreciation but explained we already had a biologist working on this issue. And Zuzek delivered his report dated December the 1st, 2020. The town receives a letter from the First Nations requesting that the town consult with them over the proposed work. Consulting with the First Nations is not simply a conversation. It's paying them to review the proposed work, which they will either approve or deny. The First Nations has never before requested consultation on roadside maintenance, and due to the land claim, we were unable. November the 26th, the biologist retained by the town, Dave Stevenson of Natural Resources Solutions, issued a report which supported our proposed work. December the 3rd, Deputy Mayor Kirkland and members of our staff met the First Nations via teleconference. First Nations advises the Deputy Mayor that consultation will cost between $6,000 and $10,000 and that approval is not guaranteed. In addition, the duty to consult typically resides with the Crown. December the 8th, 2020, an on-site protest was held by the First Nations. They objected to our inability to consult, and they insisted that the area on Lakeshore Boulevard is under land claim dispute. December the 15th, 2020, business owner Tom LaForme opposes the safety work and launches a judicial review, asking the court to revoke or quash the Gray Sobel permit. Mr. LaForme includes the report from geoscientist Peter Zuzak in his suit against the town. January the 6th, the ministry suggests that the town hires a coastal engineer to assess the issue. Coastal engineers specialize in assessing structures on or near water. The town hires industry expert Milo Sturm, who delivers his report on February the 9th, which debunks the Zuzak report. January the 15th, in response from both the Gray Sobel Conservation Authority and the ministry for additional information, the town's biologist reviews all matters, including the Zuzak report and the town's engineering documents, and provides an updated opinion. Canadian Wildlife Services sends correspondence explaining their position on endangered species and outlining the plover's needs. Their correspondence acknowledges that our project area is not plover habitat. February the 12th, cross-examinations take place in advance of the judicial review. Under oath, Zuzak admits that once he was retained by Mr. LaForme, he changed his opinion from claiming that our work may harm the dunes to it will harm the dunes. Mr. Zuzak, under oath, also testified that Milo Sturm is a leading expert in coastal engineering. The Sturm report not only refutes Zuzak's claims, but it states that the work that we propose to do will actually stabilize the dunes. He believes the project will not harm the dune structure or its stability at all. Mr. Sturm also points out that the work will create specific entranceways onto the beach, which will further protect the dunes and clearly create pedestrian safety on the lakeshore. March the 17th, following Justice Morneau's decision on the appeal that the south end of the beach is not plover habitat, Mr. LaForme supplies an affidavit from plover expert Dr. Francesca Cuthbert, in which she changes her testimony from the plover trial and now claims that the entire south end of the beach is in fact plover habitat. Gray Sobel is also named as a respondent in this litigation, but chose not to respond or even participate in the hearing. They wouldn't even allow their expert who issued the permit to be interviewed by the town's lawyer. They chose to provide nothing to the court in their own defense. On the 22nd of March, the judicial review was heard by three justices who expressed concern that the co-respondent in this case, Gray Sobel Conservation, chose not to respond to the litigation. The town was left to defend Gray Sobel and their permit in addition to our own work. On March the 29th, the judicial review decision was announced. The justices revoked Gray Sobel's permit. They have asked that the application for the work go back to Gray Sobel, but they have not yet explained why. They announced that they expect to deliver the reasoning for their decision by the end of June, but did indicate that the decision may not have been unanimous. As the work on Lakeshore has always been about safety, and it's been well publicized that the town feels that we have safety issues on our hands, we cannot allow anyone to park in this area until this is resolved. If anyone were hurt in this area and sued the town, we could not defend ourselves if we publicly stated this to be an unsafe area, yet we allowed people to park there anyway. Once the judicial review was over and we were prevented from doing work on Lakeshore, we looked at possible alternatives. We again considered making Lakeshore Boulevard one way, and painting a solid line on the road to delineate appropriate parking depth. However, making 2nd Avenue one way going the opposite direction would put far too much traffic on that road. 2nd Avenue has 3 times the number of cottages, which has created one of the busiest pedestrian roads in Sauble. Doubling the traffic without sidewalks for safety was not an option. In addition, it would create a constant flow of traffic onto those little east-west laneways while cars headed to Lakeshore. We also gave consideration to parallel parking. However, staff advised council against it, and council agreed. With the amount of constant traffic, people stopping and backing in would create log jams. Plus, people could very easily open their roadside door into moving cars and bikes. This area simply has too many pedestrians and no sidewalks, which compounds the danger. As a result, the town has chosen to place barriers along that stretch of Lakeshore to prevent parking, but it will create a safer pedestrian walkway between it and the dunes. In the meantime, we will simply have to wait for the reasoning of the 3 justices in June so we can begin the process of approvals next year and hopefully fix this in time for the next summer season. It's unfortunate that there was opposition to this work that we've been doing for so many years, especially when we now have a critical safety issue on our hands. This action against the town has hit our taxpayers in the pocketbook. Having to defend our town once again was incredibly expensive and a loss for our community in several different ways. If we are not permitted to proceed, our staff believes the encroaching sand could potentially cause a total loss of parking in this area on Lakeshore within 10 years. The last thing that we want to mention is the 2020 beach closure during the first wave of COVID. During Council's June 22nd discussion on whether to close the beach, Mayor Jackson advised Council that on her way into Town Hall, she spoke with Dr. Era, our Medical Officer of Health, regarding our concern that we have lost control over the beach with respect to mass gatherings. The Mayor advised Dr. Era that Council is concerned about the fast approaching Canada Day long weekend and that Council might decide to temporarily close the beach in order to regain control. Dr. Era shared our concern and stated that he would support Council if that was our decision, and he suggested that we create our own bylaw to control or modify beach access, which Mayor Jackson advised that we had already done. When Dr. Era offered his support for the closure of our beach, Mayor Jackson asked him to kindly put that in writing, which he did later that day. In an email sent to all mayors in Gray and Bruce, Dr. Era stated that he would support the closure of any beach to control or avoid mass gatherings. There have been accusations that Dr. Era did not support the closure of Sauble Beach. That simply isn't true, and his June 22nd email is attached here. We hope that this document and the supporting exhibits help shed some light on the trials and tribulations of our beach issues since 2008, and now our Lakeshore Boulevard parking issues. All of the statements made here are supported by documentation. Please go to the town's website, and you'll see a special Sauble Beach Facts page. Click on that presentation, and within it, you'll see the links to each and every supporting document. Thank you for taking the time to listen. Sincerely, the Council for the Town of South Bruce Peninsula.
Very good.
So, encapsulates an awful lot of...
Take a drink of water.
I'm going to take a drink of water after that one, eh? Does anybody want to make a comment or say anything?
I would just like to say one thing, Janice. I would like to stress that this has always been council direction, not just one person's decision to go through this. It's always been the majority of council. I've been here for most of this process, and it's been very long and frustrating. I hope future councils don't have to go through such a long and onerous process. So it is something that I feel very strongly about. We can't stop now. We are so close to a decision, and I think it's for the future of Sable Beach. So that's about all I have to say, and I will keep moving forward.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor.
Okay. No other comments. So we're going to go to the